Welcome to Polesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Polesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Polesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Micah, chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. In his message titled, The Monetized, Reverend David Williams tells us that it is easy to lose our way because we do not always remember why we do certain things. Most of the time, we do something for someone because we seek something in return. We must continue to do good things because it's the right thing to do. We should always keep the why in mind as we do it. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather in the stillness of this space out of the rushing bustle of our lives. We come into this place together out of lives that are often so scattered by demands that we're not quite sure from day to day what we are doing, and more deeply, why. Why is it that we spend our days as we spend them, and spend our lives as we spend them? Why is it that we do the actions that we do? We so easily become distracted and scattered, so overwhelmed that we don't find joy in anything or purpose even in the labors of our day. That can be a challenge for our souls, and right now let's admit that we struggle with that challenge. Let's admit it in prayer as we go to God together in the prayer of confession. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious God, loving God, we find ourselves moving from one moment to another as our lives rush along. We barely have time to breathe sometimes as the days blur into each other. In that rush, we keep telling ourselves there are things we will finally get around to someday. We'll make ourselves the person you want us to be. We'll fix that broken relationship. We'll do what we know it is you try to light up in us. We say that, and yet the days go by, and we do not make it real. Remind us, gracious one, that our time is not endless. Help us, gracious one, because we can't quite find our way. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to what is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the book of the prophet Micah. I'll be reading from Micah chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. You can follow along on page 863 of your pew Old Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's word. Micah writes, "Thus says the Lord, concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against those who put nothing into their mouths. Therefore, it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without revelation. The sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob and chiefs of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. Its rulers give judgment for a bribe, its priests teach for a price. Its prophets give oracles for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, surely the Lord is with us, no harm shall come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field. Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer, amen. You've got to keep your eyes on the prize, or so the saying goes. But the great challenge as we set ourselves towards our goals in life is grasping just what that prize is. Because though we may be doing things, doing a great many things, it is easy to lose track of the why of it, the why of the things that we do. And if we miss that, then we lose our purpose. When the task we're doing becomes muddled with the wrong goals, it's easy for us to take that task in directions it doesn't need to go. Like, say, if you're writing something. I am deep in the thickets of writing this November as I press into National Novel Writing Month yet again. And every year since 2013, I have done this, and I found it an immensely satisfying exercise. And there are specific goals and targets for the writing. To complete this challenge, you need to write 1,667 words a day, every single day, for an entire month. And to put that into context, my typical sermon manuscript is between 1,200 and 1,400 words. And if I get a manuscript that's 1,667 words long, it's usually one of those sermons where I look out and y'all are trying to look at your watches just a little bit, or trying to make it look like the game of Candy Crush that you're using to distract yourself to pass the time that goes on and on is really, I'm really tweeting my friends at how wonderful this sermon is. It's a lot of writing. And during this month, you do that every single day if you've taken on that commitment. And having that word count, that target, is a great way of forcing yourself to write. But there's a conundrum in it, because writing isn't just words. The goal isn't word count. The goal is the telling of a story you want to tell, and that discipline serves that purpose, but it isn't the goal. And if you get too much into tricks and gimmicks to maximize word count, you end up with something that misses the point. You're not telling a story, you're just blathering on. Like Lucy in that book report song. Ever see the musical, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown? It's fond in my heart because, you know, my son was Charlie Brown in his freshman year, and it was beautiful. But there's just padding. I mean, I don't know if you ever did that as a kid, where you had a thing that had to be a certain word length and you tried to figure out how many more words you could shovel into a sentence that really could only be 5 or 6 words long, but it's 20 words long because then I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, yeah. Then you're missing the point. And if word count is all that matters, you can also end up, you know, sounding like a little bit like Jack Torrance from The Shining, you know. It's like all work and no play, as the saying goes and goes and goes. You can have this thing that's a part of something that you're doing that, if it takes precedence, consumes your purpose. You know, like, say, the way our social interactions have evolved in this social media era. You know, our communicating with one another is such a vital part of human endeavor. It's such an essential way of us being together. And back when we started communicating in this form, it was a delight. I reconnected with old friends from high school and college, and I learned about their lives. And you were in exchange, and you were connecting. And yet, these platforms, increasingly, as they realize people are taking advantage of this, we've tapped in to this primal characteristic of human beings that we want to be together, we want to relate to one another, that we can tweak these so that people want to do it a little more. Because the more they look, the more money we make. And let's make it so that little notification thing is red, because that always draws the attention of the human eye. Let's make it so it pops up more often, so that you don't know if it's a dear old friend has just tried to contact me, or some random thing that's advertising something to me has pitched me something up, and then you get that lovely intermittent reward thing that is at the heart of all human addictions and compulsions, and you've created a very, very profitable Skinner box. We know what Skinner boxes are. Skinner box. It's that thing where you've got a rat in a box and it's got a button. And if it presses the button, it gets a treat, or not. And you can get rats that will just sit there. Ooh, treat. Because they're compelled to do it. Or, it's amazing how that has become something obsessive. And it's become more than that. It's become a way to spread lies and falsehoods. It's allowed autocrats and the professional agitators they pay to manipulate the attitudes of those living in democracies, all the while making money. Just part of the whole design. Social exchange turned to profit. Profit that has warped and shifted the whole character of a people. And from Micah, prophet to the people of Israel, that kind of attitude where you have taken a thing and forgotten its purpose. That kind of attitude is challenged today in Scripture. Micah comes to us from the southern kingdom of Judah 800 years before Jesus lived, at a time when the Assyrian Empire was storming across the ancient Near East. Micah lived in the small village of Moresheth, a little community 25 miles to the southwest of Jerusalem. It was nowhere. The nearest thing to it was the town of Gath, which gave us, anyone know who's came from Gath? Goliath. Gave us Goliath of Gath, yes. Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah had a very specific focus as he spoke to the people of Jerusalem. He challenged their decadence from within. Here, Jerusalem had turned to its own prophet and power, and Isaiah challenged it from inside, while Micah, on the outside, pitched the same pressure upon them. Both of them saw that the Hebrew people had a major challenge, because as kingdoms age, power and wealth begins to concentrate. If you've got wealth, you gather more. If you've got power, you gather more. And Jerusalem had become more and more and more wealthy as the people who lived outside of Jerusalem struggled. And this meant that the covenant people of God, the people of Israel, were falling out of balance as a society. They were beginning to fray as a nation, as tensions between those who did not have and those who did became more and more intense. And so through Micah, speaking in the words of the God of Israel, Jerusalem is challenged. And chapter 3 begins with this remarkably fierce indictment of the power that had concentrated among the wealthy in Jerusalem. It is such a fierce indictment that the editors of our lectionary, the lists that we're given to read of scriptures for the week, are like, we want to include Micah, but let's look at this. Oh, they look at the beginning of Micah, the verses 1 through 5, the 1 through 4 that get deleted, and they read like this: "Should you not know justice, you who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and the flesh off their bones and eat the skin of my people and flay their skin from them, breaking their bones in pieces and chopping them up like meat in a kettle, like flesh in a cauldron." And I mean, that's great Halloween. You think they would have left that in. I mean, it's just Halloween, leave that in. But they look at that and they're like, dear Lord, this is like cannibal horror. It's like, ugh, we can't have that read. But Micah brought that level of ferocity to his challenge of the people of Jerusalem because he saw how deep and deepening the injustice in Judah was, and how the poor and the weak among God's people, the kind of people who lived their existence out beyond the center of power in Jerusalem, how much they were suffering, and how their suffering was intensified by those who had forgotten the purpose of God's covenant nation. And most of all, Micah saw that those who were purportedly the holy men of Israel, the prophets and the priests who were meant to preserve and protect the covenant, they had forgotten their jobs. They had lost sight of their purpose. Instead of focusing on and presenting all of Judah with a message of integrity, here is how you must live together in covenant, the first question those prophets and those priests in Jerusalem asked themselves was, how's this going to raise my profile? How am I going to profit from this thing that I am proclaiming? And so the priests and prophets would not challenge those in power in Jerusalem. And they would not challenge those who'd gathered wealth into themselves, because to do so would mean risking their own reputations and, you know, maybe making a little less money doing what they were doing. They had forgotten their purpose, kind of on purpose. And that for us is an equal challenge. For we who are in a culture that grasps and has come to the understanding that the purpose of every endeavor is profit, and the purpose of every communication is not just to communicate, but to draw attention to itself. And a culture that has said material wealth is the goal to govern all other goals. And in that, we are not that different. That has always been the struggle for humankind, be it nearly 3,000 years ago in Jerusalem at the time of Micah, or today. It is the struggle for every nation that aspires to be just, that aspires to be good, as the gravitic nature of wealth and power draws more wealth and more power into itself, resource drawing in resource, until the only ones who have power are those who have power, just a few, just an elite, with most left out. That's a challenge in every culture, in every age. But I think that loss of purpose can also be a personal struggle. It's a soul blight that rests in the hearts of any of us. Because power and wealth are distractions. It is easy for us to see them as what gives value to what we do, and not the action itself done well for its own purpose. I think the first time that gut punched me, I think I've told this story before, so you can text somebody if it sounds familiar. Was back when I was working as in the second best job I've ever had, which was as a games teacher in Chuning's Tavern in Williamsburg, Virginia. That story I've told, you know, back when I had to, my job involved wearing tights, which it doesn't now. Take my word for it, does not now. And I would go and I would teach colonial games of chance to drunken tourists, and there's no better job than that, let me tell you. They are so appreciative of you teaching them games of skill, and it was an opportunity to laugh with people and engage with folks and get tips for just how delightful you were being. And still etched in my memory is that one evening where I'd been talking with someone and in and out and popping in at their table on a regular basis, and we were having fun together and we were enjoying each other's company. And there came a moment in that exchange where I realized I was playing him for the tip. That was what I was thinking about. That my mind was not on, I am enjoying the pleasure of giving you this experience. But instead, my mind was on, I can so see a tip coming here. I can see you're loose. This is your third or fourth beer, and it's looking good for tipping. And I realized in that moment of exchange that I had forgotten what I was doing. That I was no longer enjoying this time, that I was no longer part of this pleasurable experience, that this guy was a mark for me. And that was a hard moment. Suddenly, he was wondering why I blanched all of a sudden as the thought came to me. I caught myself. I know what I'm doing here. I know what I'm attempting. And I've lost my way. I didn't get a tip. I said a pleasant greeting and went and paid attention to another table because I was so mortified at myself and what I had allowed something that should have been joyous to become. In any endeavor of life, that can happen. We forget that our work has value in and of itself, and instead turn towards what it can do for us. We forget that a relationship has value in and of itself instead of a person being someone who can connect us to another more important person and maybe a better job. Not that it ever happens in DC, ever. We forget that the reason we are writing is because we love to tell stories, not because we want it to be a bestseller, so that we can buy a faster motorcycle. There are all kinds of ways we can lose track of the why of what we do. And Micah today reminds us of how important it is to correct ourselves when that happens, to be reminded that there is an essential why of every good thing we do. And that is not serving ourselves or our hungers for social esteem or our desire for material well-being. It has to do with the integrity of an action done well for the sole purpose of doing well in the world. That can be easily forgotten in this era of distraction. But now, just as it was millennia ago, it's a struggle every human being needs to have in all that they do. Let that be so. For you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It's so easy to lose your way, to lose the why of what it is that you are doing as you travel your life's journey. It's easy for certain things to become prioritized. We share something, hoping it will get likes and likes and likes and likes and likes. We do something for someone, hoping for something in return. We do our day's labor just because we need the cash, and not because there is value in that action. It is so easy for power and wealth, which is just power monetized, to become the governing, guiding purpose of our lives. But today we are reminded by Micah that it's so easy for those distractions to cause us to lose our way and to stop acting and doing because our actions in and of themselves have value. As you step out into a world where everything is defined by exchange and wealth and power, try to hear that word of challenge that Micah offered up and say to yourself as you take an action, why am I doing this? Am I doing this from duty and from joy and because it makes the world more gracious? And if not, hear Micah's challenge and turn away and try to find that heart of grace and promise in every action, no matter how simple, no matter how basic. That is our calling. That is the purpose of our path. Let us try our best to live that out. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.